This is Ranger Kidwell Ross, editor at World Sweeper, and I have the pleasure today to be speaking with two gentlemen who represent the city of Norfolk, Virginia. Norfolk is the urban center to Hampton Roads with about 247,000 residents. The city sweeps approximately 1,900 curb miles a month. They have a very extensive program that runs from daily sweeping to monthly sweeping. They're under the auspices of the Chesapeake Bay Total Maximum Daily Load, or TMDL, as well as the normal national Phase 1, Phase 2 water quality that the rest of the country is under. It's my pleasure to be able to speak today with John White, who is the stormwater engineer for the city of Norfolk, as well as Steve White, and they're no relation, who is the superintendent for street sweeping operations for the city of Norfolk, Virginia. So welcome, gentlemen, and I look forward to hearing what the city of Norfolk is doing. My guess is, and I'm sure we'll confirm this, is that you're at the leading edge of sweeping and doing other things for stormwater runoff management to keep the pollution down. So welcome, and take it away, please.
Thank you. We're happy to be here.
Thank you. This is Steve White. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, I'll give you a quick overview of our program, and this is John, and Steve will fill in the gaps. We have a pretty large sweeping program. We sweep every curb street monthly in the city. The downtown business area, which is kind of expanded to a several square mile area, is swept daily. We actually have a sweeper that comes in at night, a sweeper operator comes in at night that sweeps the downtown business districts as well as the expanded area, commercial areas around that. All the other residential streets are swept daily. I mean, on a monthly basis, we have this, some of the more congested areas signed for no parking, and all the rest of the neighborhoods have an advisory sign to let people know the days that we sweep and give them an opportunity to move their vehicles.
So part of that is signed where you must move your vehicles, and part of it is signed where we hope that you will?
Yeah, the signage is regulatory in the more congested neighborhoods where we would put no parking signs. We actually would sweep only one side of the street at a time, and we came up with a consistent standard through the city. But so there would always be one side of the street available for parking. But if in those neighborhoods, the regulatory signage would actually promote a ticket if you did not move your car when you're supposed to.
And what type of sweepers are you running? Are they air sweepers or?
Well, this is Steve. Mm-hmm. We currently have 14 mechanical sweepers. They're Pelican NP series. They're the three-wheel version, and we have now, we just recently purchased, we have three regenerative air machines that we're starting to put on the streets now. We just purchased two more, so we'll have a total of 16 sweepers that we use. We also have a couple small sweepers in our downtown area. They're like golf cart sizes. They're tenant models, and those are primarily used downtown in the high traffic area.
That makes sense. Their maneuverability, and you don't have nearly as much surface area to cover.
That's true.
So that, yeah, that makes complete sense. And it will be interesting to see whether you see a significant difference between the pickup ability of the Pelicans versus the air sweepers that you've picked up. What is the brand name on the maker model on the air sweepers? Do you know that?
They're Timco's, and the model is a 500. And we already have substantial difference. About a week to 10 days ago, we had a minor snow here, and our streets department went out and put salt and sand down. And within a matter of a couple of days, it was all gone. The snow was. And we sent our regen machines down to major highways, and you couldn't even tell that we had even put salt down. It was really, you know, substantially different.
Well, the small micro material, especially an air sweeper, is, you know, does a better job. Or the studies show that the cost per pound of pollutant picked up by an air sweeper is lower than that same action done by a mechanical broom sweeper. They pick up a lot of coarse materials as well, but that's not really where the pollutant load is. So that's what you want. It's a kind of a two-pronged sword. One is you want to keep the customer satisfied, which is to say the general public who sees material on the streets and, you know, might complain or just think it's unsightly. But the large stuff, it turns out, doesn't have much pollutant load, and the small stuff does. So it's hard to convince your population, and that's something that we may talk about, is how you outreach to the city of Norfolk citizens about it's the importance for water quality of cleaning up material that is, say, 7 or 8 times the width of your hair and smaller, and that it's not as important to pick up the cardboard boxes and, you know, that kind of thing, the larger rocks, shall we say. But all of it is what contributes to the viewpoint of the city, as well as the cleanliness and the environmental quality and so forth. So,
yeah, the street sweeping program is a really highly held in within the city, both by council and by the citizens. It's a really popular program. We get a lot of positive feedback, but the aspect of improving water quality is probably the unsung hero of that service. We are looking to expand the role of the regen sweepers in order to be more effective in that process.
Is that what drove your movement toward air sweepers? Is to see if that could make a difference on some of your roadways or some of your end of pipe statistics?
Yeah, I think that is a valid assumptions. We did get we brought in the regens to not replace the broom sweepers and mechanical sweepers, but to enhance the sweeping program overall, and to get those finer particles that ultimately are the pollutant carriers and reduces the sediment going into our waterways.
Are you collecting money through your garbage pickup or elsewhere to try to address end-of-the-pipe runoff pollution?
No, the city of Norfolk has a stormwater utility, and the stormwater utility pays for the maintenance and upkeep of the stormwater system, but we also use it to fund the street sweeping program. In addition, the downtown area, the DNC, downtown business center, has a few ambassadors, I think they call them ambassadors, that have sidewalk sweepers, but we handle the right of way, the curbs, the streets, with a combination of the nighttime sweeping operation and those tenant sweepers that Steve mentioned earlier.
And when you say the ambassadors, are they just hand sweeping brooms and keeping things cleaned up, or they have actual, is there companies that have machines?
They have some smaller, like you can set on, it's not enclosed,
mm-hmm.
sweepers. I believe those are also tenant models. They're not quite as big, as nice as ours, so, and they're like walk behinds.
Right. A lot of times they'll have what we call a silky behind them.
It's that's what it is.
Yeah, kind of a little seat that looks like you're just sort of out there with sitting on nothing while you're running your sweeper,
yeah.
But it does let the person not have to walk behind. Uh-huh. So that's part of your business improvement district effort, just to keep the downtown core looking great and hopefully remove the pollutants off there, too.
Correct.
How has the city of Norfolk done in terms of TMDL? Have you been able to hit your requirements, or is that a moving target that keeps moving out in the distance, or how is that working?
Well, the program has just gotten off, just getting started. It's a presidential executive order that really started in 2012. So the first target date isn't for another 6 or so years out. And then the entire program, I think it's a 2026 date or something like that, to, for all the Bay communities to meet their requirements. So the program's just getting started, and we are trying to, we began enhancing the street sweeping program in 2007, and we're trying to get that as a major best management practice for the TMDLs. Right now, they're kind of limiting what we can claim as far as removal of the sediment loading from the TMDL with street sweeping.
Well, it's good if you can come up with hard data on that. If somebody's keeping track at the end of the pipe what the pollutant load is, as part of your process, you may be able to see if there's a difference between, you know, broom sweeping and air sweeping, or frequency of sweeping, and whether that does make a difference. One of the things that you have just said is excellent, though. So many places in the country, the municipal departments are separated, so you have separate budget for street sweeping, and on the other side, there's another budget, another department, another group of hands out for the money at the end of the pipe or to clean up the water. And what a lot of organizations don't realize is are the value of putting those two parts together with a shared budget. Too often we hear that, you know, we have these water quality issues that we're trying to deal with, and they say, well, you know, here's what's going on at the end of the pipe, and we've done this, and we've done grassy soils, and we've done catch basin filters, and so forth. But when you say, well, and how much do you sweep? They say, well, you know, we've just got X budget for that, and so forth. So if you, a lot of times, if you have money coming in for addressing stormwater issues, if you combine your departments, then it just makes perfect sense to look at that as a whole, and you sweep, because we know that for an air sweeper, it's under $10 a pound of pollutant picked up, is what it appears to be. For a broom sweeper, it's a little above that, but for end-of-the-pipe solutions without the cost of real estate, it's in the range of $35 per pound of pollutant that you take out of the system. So if you can you know, do some analysis with that and say, okay, we're going to sweep until the last pound of pollutant picked up equals the first pound of pollutant picked up at the end of the pipe, then it makes just a lot more sense if you have that budget combined where you can allocate your budget across and you know, sweep in the correct fashion with the correct machines and then handle the pollutants at the end of the pipe. Part of the problem, of course, is when it rains and the pollutants go down the drain, about half of them that we're trying to get rid of are water soluble, and so you don't capture those in a filter. So that's a, you know, that's a difficulty there. But you're right on the leading edge of where change is so important there with Chesapeake Bay. You've had a number of issues, I know, with Chesapeake and keeping it clean.
Yeah. A couple of points to what you just said is, Steve, this is John, Steve, his team does an excellent job of working with our other parts of the city, the utility department or the streets and bridges, if they're doing an activity that's, that has a potential for putting a lot of dirt in the road, they're right there with them, part of that team, to clean it up. So they're really tied in. The other part of that is so it does work well. But prior to expanding the street sweeping, we did conduct some studies with some local consultants and actually had analysis done on the effectiveness of the street sweeping program. And in addition to our normal testing, what we do is we do samples every, I think every 100 tons or so of debris, we measure the nutrient loading of the sweeping debris that we collect. So, just for our the benefit of having that to meet those requirements.
And what are you seeing in that? What kind of levels of pollutants are you picking up, or is contained in there? Are you surprised at any of those results, or has there been a movement for more or less over time, or are there any trends you can talk about?
Oh, what we've seen is basically what you'd expect is in the spring and fall, we end up with higher nutrient loadings because people are fertilizing, and that some of that ends up on the street and tied to the soil particles that we are sweeping up. Other times, the nutrients are pretty relatively low. We're pretty confident, if permitted, to really reflect the true effectiveness of the sweeping program, that we can meet all of our sediment requirements under the Chesapeake Bay TMDL with street sweeping alone. But obviously, we're pursuing other activities. But street sweeping is an effective tool for that.
Well, it is, and I know at least one study showed that when you took a broom sweeper, and this was not a pelican, mind you, but they took a broom sweeper and they followed it with an air sweeper, that they were picking up about 500 pounds per curb mile with the air sweeper, following right behind a broom sweeper. So in the areas that are really sensitive for you, where you're right next to water bodies that you really want to keep clean, that's an option to consider as well, because by far the pollutant loads are in the smaller micron particles, which is what a broom sweeper will tend to miss. So you may have some advantages there in having a mixed fleet. Of course, the problem that you'll run into with regenerative or any air system is they need a good highway surface to be able to pull a suction and pull a vacuum. So, something else to consider there too. You know, education of the citizens of Norfolk too about their fertilizing may make a difference as well. It's somehow become the American way that if a little's good, more is better, and to really teach people that they don't have to double the amount of fertilizer that it says to put on, it's on the bag, can make a difference in your runoff too. Do you have areas that you've noticed anything, any anomalies? And what I'm thinking of specifically, we have all the requirements for sweeping streets and sweeping industrial areas, and stormwater phase one and phase two cover a lot of those different areas. One area it doesn't cover is parking lots. And we're seeing, because of the recession, less sweeping on parking lots these days. So I wonder if that's anything you've seen. Are there any correlations between the kind of material that you're finding, or I'll just say something to look for in the future is to see if there's any kind of correlation where there's a lot of parking lot drainage that's coming down onto the streets, to see if the composition of that is any different than you would find in residential areas.
That is something that we have been looking at, but we haven't started doing any testing there yet that I'm aware of. We have an environmental staff that are expanding, and that's going to be something they're going to be looking at in the future. I know they're recently, we're going over the impervious areas and on best ways to handle that. But we do have environmental inspectors to go out if there's like new construction or parking lots or things like that, and if there's something low tech that they can pick up on, they will. But there's nothing formal that I know of yet that they're monitoring any of those sites.
Well, I know there's been so much emphasis on removing all the point source pollution through the years, and now when you have a handle on a lot of the point source stuff, and you still have pollutants, then you start thinking, well, where is this stuff coming from? And I think that's an area that hasn't been looked at as much as it probably should be. Many places will sweep for cosmetics if they're retail operations, but a lot of times, especially industrial and service facilities and those kinds of things that don't get retail traffic, they're much worse about having their areas swept routinely. And
regrettably, that a lot of our industry is along the waterways, and those parking lots, particularly for industrial, the shipyards, particularly around here, will end up going right overboard. But a lot of those guys, a lot of those shipyards are good corporate citizens. The other aspect of this is the litter control, and the city has begun a pretty serious effort on litter management, litter control, litter prevention, trying to grab the corporate citizens out there to be a little more cognizant and aware of those issues.
Well, I think education a lot of times is, really helps. I'm reminded when we're talking about the waterways of when I visited with the, I was in Amsterdam and met with the city officials there for their sweeping, and had just come from Denmark. And in Copenhagen, their sweeping program was really one of the best I've ever seen in the world. They were very happy to get their canals where they could swim in them again. People had thought, for them, the canals were kind of like our whatever river that was we had on fire back in the 70s, you know, where people thought it would never come back, but it did. And then I went to Amsterdam, and they were equally happy about their sweeping program. They proudly boasted that they had two guys with brooms that whenever they were next to a canal that went along in front of the sweepers and swept the debris so that the sweeper could pick it up in hopes that their canals they'd someday be able to swim in again. But when I went out to see the folks in Denmark, they were doing a great job. When I went to look at the actual sweeping in Copenhagen, the guys that were walking nearest the canal were sweeping back and forth. So every other broom sweep went into the canal, and then the other one
Or into the air,
and then the other one went over to to where the sweeper could get it. So education, whether that's sweeper operators or the citizens or your own internal organization can really make a huge difference. The parking cars, I guess, is probably the largest element. If you can move a car out, then you really save three sweeping lengths because the sweeper has to swing out and then swing back in, so there's really three car lengths that are lost. And if people know that can make a difference. So that how fast you sweep can make a difference. Allocating your sweepers correctly, given how close they are to water as well as the condition of the roads. If you can put a great air sweeper like a Timco 500 on a road and if it's really bumpy and has lots of potholes and that sort of thing, they're not going to be able to do a good job. So that kind of education can really make a difference.
And it has been an ever-changing process over the last 6 years. We've done it in stages. We've implemented it. We start off going every 6 weeks on a regular cycle, then moved into an every-month cycle, and then we started introducing signs. So we have a PR section, and they've really promoted. They've gone in heavily into the civic leagues in the different neighborhoods and promoted it and partnered with those folks. And we've utilized, the local newspaper, and we've sent out flyers, to the homeowners. And over time, it's developed where, like John was saying earlier, that it's become really popular with the citizens. And now that we're doing it on a real regular basis, the people have expected it, and they think it's always been that way. So now the expectation is really high, and we have if we miss a day because of bad weather, we hear about it.
Mm-hmm. Who could ask for anything more?
I know. So that's kind of how I judge it. I judge now instead of calls complaint that I missed it because we weren't doing it. Now I get calls because we missed it because of bad weather, which is easy to explain. But still, there is still that population out there that's pretty vocal.
Well, and when they understand that, I think the environmentalism is certainly moving more to the forefront, and you have one of the premier recreation areas in the country and in the world there with Chesapeake that, of course, was popularized, with James Michener. So a lot of people, such as myself, who grew up on Puget Sound, when I read Chesapeake, I inserted all the right places in my upbringing for that, but it's always seemed like a magical, mystical, very pristine area, and it sounds like you're working to, keep it that way as best you can figure out. A lot of times, conversations like this and others where you can think of other, other ideas to enhance what you're already doing and help other people around the country do the same. It's very positive for our industry and our environment.
Yep.
Are there topics that you think we should we haven't covered yet that you'd like to bring out about your sweeping program or how it works or any other aspects?
You know, I think we've been covered everything pretty extensively there. How many men do we have working
in the sweeping department? We have 25 employees, equipment operators, and maintenance personnel. Besides the equipment operators that drive the street sweepers, we have a hand crew with maintenance workers, and they go out with the sweepers and also on their own, and they hit dead ends where the sweeper's not able to, you know, maneuver. And we have a lot of overpasses, railroads, interstates. And the hand crew takes care of those areas where the sweepers just can't get to. So, you know, it's a pretty extensive staff just involved with that. And then the support staff from the engineering side, there's probably maybe half a dozen or more engineers or engineering staff that's, you know, dedicated to helping us meet our goals also. So it's a pretty substantial work group.
Yeah, the engineers do more than street sweeping operations.
I'm not sure about that.
But we definitely support them, particularly on the sign installations and neighborhoods that need that.
Well, one of the things that I'll bring up here, just to help others, and you know, this may be something you've looked into, and it may not, but. Keep in mind that these sweepers are going out on regular routes, and they're out there anyway. So one of the other things you might consider for them, if you haven't, is a notification system, where they notify you of you know, roadways that are, you know, potholes that need to be patched, or tree branches that are coming down encroaching, or you know, signs down, or any of those kinds of aspects. Especially with GPS these days, that can you can really make your budget go further by having the sweeper operators be your notification system for
absolutely.
The
and we also use them. They multitask if we're getting ready to do some pump station, you know, stormwater pump station renovations. Our sweeping staff, while they're out there, especially our tandem support drivers, they'll go around and hang door hangers to let the, you know, the citizens know that there's going to be some construction going on in their area. And they also will help our night shift guy. He'll point out City of Norfolk, I guess all cities, because of the there's a basic charge for street lights, and if there are street lights that are out, we'll report it and we get a credit for that. So, you know, we have a multitask on a lot of different levels like that. So you're right, it's a resource that we try to use when we can.
Right. Well, that's you know, you're clearly ahead of many street departments in the country in how you're looking at this, and of course part of that's pushed by requirements, but part of it's an aspect of, you know, wanting to keep a beautiful place, you know, where you live, and it sounds like you've really thought of a lot, and having the budgets combined, where you have one department kind of pulling the harness at the together, I think is huge. It stops the divisiveness of, you know, who's catch basin cleaning and who's sweeping and who's you know, doing other aspects, and you don't have the infighting that you would have otherwise.
Yep, I think it's been paramount in our operation.
Well, I appreciate the time that you've dedicated here to talking to the municipal audience and contractor audience too. Of course, a lot of contractors are out there that clean streets for cities, and I hope that it's given them some ideas. City of Norfolk has a leading edge sweeping program that has combined many aspects of stormwater quality and pollutant removal, and are really trying to obviously make a concerted effort to do everything you can. So I applaud you for that. We've been speaking with John White, who's the stormwater engineer for the City of Norfolk, Virginia, as well as Steve White, who's the superintendent for street sweeping operations. And thank you both very much, gentlemen.
Well, thank you. Thank you for allowing us to share our program with you.
Well, it's nice to talk to folks that are involved in a top-notch program and have that information transmitted to people around the country. Thanks so much for sharing.
Yes, sir.